So we're going to try to have a quick overview of quick tips for marriage. Point number one, there's nothing sweeter or more beautiful than marriage. There's nothing better in this world. Point number two, if your marriage doesn't seem to reflect that, look back at point number one. Now, you might think I'm joking. I'm not. It's not like you can attain the best thing in the world in 1 second. If I told you that this is the best business, you could become a millionaire. So then why isn't everyone doing it? Because it involves a lot of sacrifice, because it involves a lot of hard moments, because it involves a lot of dedication and determination and getting through tough moments. Yeah, people have this false impression that if the marriage is right, then you're always lovey-dovey. And if the marriage is right, then things will always go smoothly. Quite the contrary. If this marriage is going to work, if this marriage is really going to be beautiful, then that means we're going to have to go through thick and thin, and there's going to be a lot of thick and thin. What you see, when you see this dream picture of a beautiful, happy family and a beautiful, happy marriage, well, yeah, you might get there in 15 or 20 years. It doesn't happen overnight. There's no such thing. People get married and they have this dream, oh, it's going to be perfect. Yeah, part of being perfect is that there are tremendously difficult moments. Moments that you can't imagine because no one else is telling you it's happening. You know, on the outside, everyone seems like everything's perfect and beautiful and great. Yeah, they look at you, they think the same thing. No one knows what's going on behind closed doors. So there's no such thing. It's not an either it works or doesn't work. It works, but you got to make it work. And as difficult as it seems in certain moments, you have to realize that the potential for a beautiful marriage is within a person's grasp. I always say it takes one to tangle. It takes one to tangle. It only takes one to make the marriage beautiful. And if you come and tell me, what do you mean? How can I make it work with this person? This is so difficult. This is ridiculous. This is beyond capacity. I say no. The question is only about you. It takes one to tangle. I sat with a couple 2 weeks ago, and I said this to them, and the woman was like ready to wring my neck. After she thought about it for a little bit, she realized that could work. It's not the way we're accustomed. She said to me, you know, none of the marriage books say that. I said, I'm not bound by the marriage books. I'm telling you how to make it work. I'm not coming to regurgitate the formulas you'll find written somewhere else. You're getting married. You have to be prepared to make it work. And I'll show you an interesting point in the pasuk. The pasuk tells us that the first year that a couple is married, the husband has a special mitzvah to be home every night. He doesn't go out to the army. Fascinating pasuk. Now, this just dawned on me, this interesting point, a day or two ago. There's two words in the verse that have been bothering me for a long, long time. And just a day or two ago, it dawned on me what might be an interpretation in this verse. The verse says, Naki yiyeh lebeito. It says when there's a war that's not an imperative war, it's not a life or death situation for the people. It's just, you know, it's a war. Sometimes you have wars that are imperative, and then you have wars that are not imperative. So when it's a non-imperative war, so then the verse says, Naki yiyeh lebeito shana echad. The husband has a responsibility to be clean to his home a full year. You don't send him out to the army. You don't send him out to do difficult things. Leave him home the first year. V'simach et ishto asher lakach. And he has a responsibility to make the wife that he took happy. That's the verse. So it always bothered me. Why does the verse say he will make happy the wife that he took? Why does it conclude with the words that he took, asher lakach? Those two words always bothered me. And it dawned on me yesterday that maybe what the verse is telling us is no buyer's remorse here. This is what you took. Meaning now it's up to you to make it work. A person will always have an excuse. Let me go out to work. Let me go out to the field. I'm happy going to the army. It's a mitzvah. I'm protecting citizens. comes the pasuk and say, you took it. It's your responsibility. It's like a person that brings a child to the world. He can't just turn his back and say, he'll manage with his mother. No, I had a fascinating conversation with a divorcee about 3-4 weeks ago. We were working together to help another abused woman get divorced. This woman said to me, we have to arrange legally that the father's visitation rights will be done in a way that's logical. So I said to her, the father's not interested in the kids. What are you talking about visitation rights? From his perspective, he says, let them all go fly a kite. He hasn't paid a penny for months. He hasn't paid electric, heating, rent, nothing. He doesn't care about them. What are you talking about visitation rights? He's not interested. So this woman who is herself divorced, and she's divorced from a man who is so problematic. I mean, the guy, I can't tell you, I don't want to scare you, the stories of what he did to his kids. The man's absolutely insane. Okay, not absolutely insane. He's just really, really weird. He's got real, psychological problems to my mind. I mean, really did things that were, by no stretch of the imagination, fair to do to a child. She said to me, I make sure that my ex-husband sees the kids once a week. So I said, really? She said, yes, because as bad as he is, the children need a father and a mother, and I can't give that to them. And even if I will get to be remarried, I will never re-give them their biological father. And in order for them to be stable adults, they need to know that their biological father cares about them. He's a problematic person. Yes, if he gets upset at a 2-year-old who didn't make a blessing, he's capable of sticking his finger down his throat and pulling out the food literally as the kid is eating. And I try to explain to him he's a 2-year-old, take it easy. But so I have a problem with him. But in spite of all the problems, the kids are going to be more stable adults if they know they have a father than they walk around their whole life thinking their biological father wanted to have nothing to do with them.
Pros outweighs the cons in that case.
Right, whatever. I'm saying, I was shocked that they thought the pros would outweigh the cons. So she said, yes, I make sure there's a social worker there when he meets with them. And I do all kinds of things, but at the end of the day, the man brought the kids to the world. As hard as it is for me to go out to his town and bring the kids there, in order for them to be stable adults, I do it. Mm. Fascinating woman, right? Well, you got married. You're getting married. You're taking a responsibility. And it's not something you could turn your back on. So, marriage is about living up to the responsibility. And as we live up to the responsibility and we cross the hurdles, it gets better with time. And sometimes it's hard to believe, but take my word for it. I've accompanied hundreds, if not thousands, of couples. It gets better over time. And you'll tell me, what does that mean, takes one to tango? So I'll tell you the logic behind it. What happens is, each side sees what they do and sees what's difficult to accept. And we see very clearly what we do on behalf of the other person, but we haven't yet learned to understand what the other person is really doing for us. We know right away what bothers us about the other person. No one has to teach us that. But we have to learn, it's part of the language that we speak. We have to learn how to appreciate what the other side is doing on our behalf. And I'll give you a small example of that. There was once a couple who was going to the wedding. And a week before the wedding, the husband tells his wife, look, it's my best friend. He asked me to be there on time. So do me a favor. Next week, Monday, let's get ready early. And at 4 o'clock, we'll leave the house. Even if there's traffic, we'll be there on time. And she says, sure. Okay. He tells her that on Sunday. Tells her that on Monday. Tuesday morning, he gets a phone call to work. And his wife's on the line. And she says, honey, tell me, what do you want for supper tonight? So he looks at the phone like, she called me to work for that. He says, look, I really don't care. It doesn't matter. So she says, yeah, but what would you like? So he says, whatever you want. So she says, but what do you want? He says, I really don't care. Whatever is convenient for you to make. She says, no, what would you like to eat for supper? So he says, okay, fine hamburgers. Okay. Wednesday morning, gets a phone call to work. Honey, what would you like for supper? So he's thinking, I got a lot to do. I don't understand. She's calling me to work to ask me what I want for supper. He says, look, I really don't mind. Whatever you want is good for me. Whatever you make is great. She says, no, but what would you like? So he says, okay, fine. Why don't we just have a light supper, you know, salad and, French fries? Fine, okay. Same story Thursday. Same story Sunday. Now, Monday comes the day of the wedding. He rushes home. He comes home from work, 12 o'clock, starts getting ready. 1 o'clock, she comes home. She comes to him and says, what dress do you want me to wear? She looks at his watch. She says, why not the blue one? Fine. It's 1:30, 2 o'clock. She comes in and says, what shoes do you want me to wear? He says, well, which ones match with your blue dress? Well, which do you like better? Okay, back and forth. It's 3 o'clock. Which necklace do you want me to wear? Which earrings? It's 3:45. And she comes back and she says, which head covering do you want me to wear? And which eyeshadow do you think goes better with this necklace? He looks at her and says, you know, we agreed already a week ago. We're going to be at the car at 4. Do you really think you're going to make it? So she says, yeah, don't worry. And then later she comes in and says, do you think I should put in blush with that eyeshadow? He looks at her and says, you know, we really have to go. And she says, I know, just one more thing. So he tells her about the blush. A minute later, she comes back and says, you know, the heels over here on these shoes aren't so comfortable. Which ones, you know, which do you think these are the best or the other ones? He says, I don't care. Whatever you'll be comfortable with. Do me a favor, let's go. So they go to the wedding, and there's this icy silence along the way. And he looks at her and he says, I don't know what you're upset about. I asked you a week ago to be ready on time. And I hope we won't get stuck in traffic because of all this dilly-doddle about a necklace and an earring and a bracelet and a dress. Yeah, you know. And he's boiling inside of him because all along he wonders, she can't make any decisions on her own. She's got to ask me about everything. She can't decide what supper to make without giving me a call. Fine, they get to the wedding. He goes to his friend and he pours his heart out. He says, what's wrong with these women? Why is it that every decision she makes, she calls me up and I got to call the shots? She goes to her friends, the wife of that same guy he was talking to, and she says to her, I don't understand these men. What kind of brute? I know what ingredients I have at home. I know what's convenient for me to make. But what's more important to me than anything else is what will make him happy. So I call him up every day because I want to make sure I got it right to make him happy. I know I'm going to be with all the women here and all the people I haven't seen in years. I know it's important for me to look good. I know how I think I should look. But no, more important than everyone else is him. So I ask him, and he doesn't have patience for me. So we have this miscommunication where a woman will sometimes be doing a lot of things out of love for a man, which really get on the man's nerves. He doesn't even know to appreciate what's behind what she's saying. A guy's rushing to the shower and his wife says, honey, do you want me to make you a cup of coffee? And he's thinking, I'm in such a rush. Where does she think I have time for a cup of coffee? What she's thinking is, I want to show him I love him. I want to make him something. I know he's in a rush, so I'll quickly make him the cup of coffee so he should be ready. And sometimes there's this miscommunication where he's thinking, I'm in a rush. Why does she think I have time? And she's talking to him, which coffee do you want? Decaf or regular in the cappuccino machine or regular boiled? You want it ice cold? Should I add ice? And he's thinking, who has a head for this? But what's she trying to tell him? I know you're in a rush, and I know you might need that cup of coffee for your meeting today, and I'm trying to do what's going to be best for you. And even though I have a million other things on my mind, I want to show you I love you. But she doesn't say all of that, and he doesn't understand all of that. So then there's this miscommunication, and he could blow up at her at some point. I don't understand you. You see, I'm in a rush. Who has time? Do I care about the coffee? I got to go. I'm not going to have time to drink it anyways. Is that fair? So what happens is there are many such scenarios in marriage. And they can go on for 20 years. Meaning there's a lot of this beneath the surface communication which we don't even understand. Where we try to communicate something, the other side doesn't get it. You're going to see, you're going to go shopping, and you're going to get back from the shop, and your wife is going to look at the detergent you bought, and she's going to say, you bought that? And you're going to look at her and say, I just spent 3 hours online for you, because I wanted to save you. carrying the heavy detergent, and the best you can do is you bought that, and she's thinking, he doesn't like that smell. He's allergic to that. That's going to itch him and drive him crazy. And if I use that detergent, well, then for 3 months now, he's going to be stuck with that smell. What am I going to do? What are they each saying? But there's a tremendous amount of this miscommunication that goes on, and there's no way to overcome it. Meaning, the only way you can overcome it is with the attitude we said before. If I'm focused on giving, not receiving, not demanding, and not approaching it with the thought, wait, there's a basic norm I'm entitled to expect. Because believe me, she's giving you much more than that basic norm, but we don't speak the same language. So we don't hear it. So that's why I say it takes one to tango. Because really there are two tangoing, but you can't see the other one's tango. And you're going to be 100% convinced that the other side is not pulling their weight. Because there are so many things that they're doing that we don't even begin to see, us crude, crass men. And then there are the things we do that they don't see. But that's why the approach has to be, it takes one to tango. I have to do the best I can to make this work. And if I'm going to do the best I can, that's the only way it can work. There's no other way it can work. Because in truth, you have two people, neither one wants to hurt the other one. Even when there are spats and rows and that, and this one's offended, so they say something they shouldn't say, and that one's offended, so they say something they shouldn't say. That doesn't matter. At the end of the day, they don't mean it. And I'll tell you more than that. Women speak with emotion, men speak with logic. So I always say the joke, a woman looks at the husband in the middle of a fight and says, I hate you. And the husband looks back and says, and I hate you. And then she goes bawling into her room, I can't believe you said that. And he looks at her and says, I don't understand, you said it first. And she says, yeah, but you meant it. Why? Because when she says, I hate you, what does she mean? I'm really upset at you. She doesn't mean I hate you. But she knows that when he says it, he talks from his mind. She talks from her heart. It's two different things. So when we enter marriage, we have to know we're entering the most beautiful, the sweetest, the greatest, and the most stable part of our life. If there's one place that a person can come and call it home, it's where his wife is. And if there's one place where a person will be able to find serenity, it's with his wife. But you're going to come home many times and ask yourself, this isn't living up to what I expected. That's true, because it takes time to build it. What you remember seeing, what you see, is either an external facade by other couples or something that they've built over many, many years. And the building involves sacrifice. The building involves giving, and giving when you feel like giving least, and giving when you really don't see legitimacy giving. You get into bed, and your wife says, don't you want the light off? And you think to yourself, yes, I do. But you got into bed second. Shouldn't you have turned off the light? I did ask you before I got into bed, do you want me to shut the light? But then you were still reading, right? Isn't that fair? I don't understand. You were reading the book. I said, you know, I'm going to lie down. Do you want me to shut the light? You said no. Now 2 minutes later, you decide that yes. So shouldn't you get out of bed and shut the light? The answer is, well, that depends on your approach. If my approach is let's do what's fair, then we're going to have a lot of explosions in marriage. If my approach is let me find every opportunity I can to give, ishto asher lakach, that's the wife that you took, and you have a responsibility to make her happy, so then we're going to have a beautiful marriage. And again, she's not taking advantage. She is doing, on average, 10 to 1 more than you are. You just don't know how to see it. I don't think there exists a marriage on earth other than a woman who's an invalid where the wife isn't doing 10 to 1 for the husband, more than the husband's doing for the wife. But the husband notices that time when he got into bed and she said, could you go shut the light? And he's thinking, didn't I just ask her? Now that I'm on the verge of falling asleep, I got to go and do it. I tell husbands, when you have a baby and the baby gets up in the middle of the night and your wife is going to nurse him, you get up, take the baby out of the crib, change the diaper, and then give him to your wife and go back to sleep. So you'll ask me why she has to get up anyway, and I'll tell you, because she has to get up anyway. She's going to be up now for who knows how long with that baby chomping on her, and very often nursing is painful in the beginning, and she might not be able to calm the baby down. She's doing her end anyways. She doesn't have to deal with the dirty diaper. You deal with the dirty diaper. So marriage is about giving when I have a lot of excuses not to give. Marriage is about giving when I don't think it's right I should give. And there's no way that marriage can work if we're going to work based on what I think is right. You give a little, I give a little. No. I give a lot, and I give a lot. That's marriage. I give a lot, and I give a lot. And believe me, the only reason you don't see your wife giving is because you don't know how to look. As the years go on, you'll start having appreciation. And that leads us to the next point. I challenge every husband and wife to give 50 compliments a day and see if their marriage doesn't soar. So you'll ask me, 50 compliments a day? And I'll say, yeah. Yeah. Because there are so many things to show appreciation for, but us husbands, our greatest weakness is that we don't know how to do that. We take it all for granted. Women have to hear appreciation. The one piece of advice that's most pivotal, and this has two sides to one coin. Okay? Side number one, compliments and appreciation are the glue of marriage. They are what keep people together. Compliments and appreciation. So the more you can compliment, the more you can show appreciation, the more your marriage is going to come together. And the other side of that same coin is that any form of criticism tears us apart. And it doesn't matter how right you are, and it doesn't matter how impersonal it is. You can tell your wife, you know, if you take the bends a little slower, so then you might find yourself swaying less in the car. That's not personal. I'm just telling her, you know, on an icy patch, on a snowy day, you take the bend so fast that the car can go flying. It's personal. You might have to say it, but she's going to take it personally. You're going to tell her, you know, if you deposit money through the ATM machine, the bank charges less than at the teller. Oh, so you don't like the way I deposit checks in the bank? You might have to find a way to tell her. But remember that whatever you say, she takes personally. And you know what? You're the same way. If you paid, you did the shop, and you come home and your wife says, oh, you paid by credit card? You know we pay another dollar per shop if we pay by credit card? You suddenly feel like, hey, why'd you have to say that? Now, if you feel like something like this should be said, so say it on a time that you do it. Meaning if you just did the shop and you did pay by credit card or didn't pay by credit card, so you could tell her, you know, I'm so happy I had the cash this time because we didn't lose money because I didn't have to pay by credit card. I got the same message across, but it's not personal. It wasn't about her. You say something about her, it's personal. When should you be personal? When you compliment. They bring out a good cake to the table. You could say, that cake was delicious. You could say, you made a delicious cake. Notice the difference in the compliment. We're very personal when we have criticism. But we're not personal when we compliment. Do I say, you drive well? Or do I say, that was a smooth ride? Do I say, the cake was delicious? Or do I say, you made a delicious cake? Do I say you burnt the cake or do I say the cake got burnt? Notice that when we criticize, it's you burnt the cake. And when we compliment, it's the cake was delicious. But it should be the exact opposite. Now, we should avoid criticism like fire. Women hear it 10 times as loud as you say it. You might not have even meant it. Is this skirt too tight on me? Maybe a little bit. Oh boy, I can't believe you said that. Honey, what did I say? You said I'm the fattest woman in the store. No, I didn't. I just said the skirt might be a little bit tight on you. Oh, yeah, I know what you meant. Women magnify everything you say. And the smallest thing that you might say, she's going to magnify, not your compliments. A woman has to hear that she is loved and cherished over and over and over and over and over and over and over. You guys get the hint? You're never going to say it enough. A woman can't stand competition. Anytime you're going to start speaking about positive things about another woman, she takes it personally. And you know what? You would take it the same way. If you, like I had a girl call me a week or two ago and she couldn't understand why her chatan was taking it personally. I said, well, imagine you guys sat together at a restaurant and a girl he knew from the past came by and he spoke to her for 5 minutes and he's laughing and he turns to you afterwards and he says, that Cheryl, she was always the funniest girl in class. Doesn't she have a great sense of humor? What a personality. You're going to sit there and you're going to start seething, right? We all have this tendency where we want to feel that our spouse feels like we're number one. So we have to give that feeling. We have to know how to let the other person feel they're great. Find areas of compliments. When I say 50 compliments a day, I'm not exaggerating. It's just a starting point. If you force yourself, then suddenly you'll see there are so many places to show appreciation. Yeah, I'm with you.
Okay, so in what cases is it appropriate to compliment? I mean, I'm assuming like your mother, your sisters, like people that she's very obviously not going to feel threatened by.
She feels threatened by everyone, as do you.
So don't compliment your mother or your sisters. Or
didn't say not to compliment. Just be aware that that's the way it's going to be taken. And I tell guys sometimes, out of respect, you should call your parents and wish them a good Shabbos, and call your in-laws and wish them a good Shabbos. But if for whatever reason you need to call your parents more frequently, then sometimes it's a wise thing to do it during your lunch break at work. It doesn't have to be done at home. Now, one piece of advice I give every couple: the first 2 months of marriage, when possible, at nights, shut off the cell phone, shut off the house phone, shut off the internet, shut off the whatever other communication you have with the external world, and be together. Because if you can take the first month or two of marriage and spend your nights together, even though generally for a period of time the couple is not permitted right after marriage, but that doesn't matter. They're learning one another. It's a golden opportunity. And once you start that communication right, so then in the future you can build on it. You guys with me so far? Okay.
So sorry, I didn't know you had a shiur now.
It's okay.
I was like, dying we'll to have when to. They're going to be shiuring.
They were a little slow in putting up the signs this year. Okay. We're doing a quick overview of tips and pointers for marriage. So, next. We all have our weaknesses, we all have our strengths, and we all know our weaknesses, and we all have this imagination of what our strengths are. We shouldn't try to be that smart aleck who's going to explain to our wife how she's going to become a better person. It's very tempting to come and tell her, A or B or C or D. That's not marriage. Marriage is building together, and people grow out of appreciation and acceptance. So we have to be prepared to accept our spouse as they are. And that can prove difficult. Sometimes you hear your wife talking disrespectfully to her parents. Sometimes you hear her doing things that you think aren't too smart with her job. And you have to think very closely if it's a good idea to get involved. Very often, you should stand the sidelines. If you want to help a person grow, the key is acceptance and strengthening the positive and trying to bring home the point from a far-out place, something that's impersonal. You could even invent a story. Wait till the story has died down and then come home and say a story that you heard or something that happened. Something that's unrelated. You shouldn't connect it back to yourself. We had a couple where the wife was always getting into fights with her boss over things that she was wrong. So then the husband waited for a time when it wasn't relevant to her. And he came home and he started discussing with her, saw a friend of his that was doing A, B, C, and D. And through that, they were able to explore how a person should and shouldn't react to their boss. We're sensitive creatures, and what we want most in marriage is acceptance. And what we want most is acceptance with our weaknesses. It's very, very hard for us that the person who is closest to us is not accepting of us, but rather has all kinds of comments on how we should be better. What we desperately need is acceptance on those points specifically. Are there any questions? Okay, so let's see what we discussed today. We discussed that marriage is the sweetest thing. We discussed that it takes time to get there. We discussed that what you see by other people is either external, or if it's real, then it took them time to get there. It doesn't happen overnight. We discussed that the hardships that one has to prevail are harder than anything you can imagine, and that that is the norm, and that it makes sense that if this is something that's so precious, then it involves such great investment. We discussed that ordinarily people, when they encounter these hardships, think this isn't normal. No one else is going through this. And they have a million reasons why their case is just ridiculously difficult. But you have to know that it's not that way. Everyone thinks that theirs is that way. And that's par for the course. Anyone you'd marry would involve a lot of building. And when we prevail, when we can go through these hardships and end up together happily, so then you will see that the fact that you prevailed makes the bond only stronger. It makes you grow in your connection. We discussed that criticism is what brings us apart and compliments is what brings us together, and that a person has to get accustomed to complimenting. One of the weaknesses that men have is that they're very weak on the verbal end. Part of it is our male ego. We have a very hard time sitting down and being warm and lovey-dovey. It's so nice to see you. I've been waiting all day. Do you know that when I left this morning, I was counting the hours? It's so good to be here. And then you can start complimenting physical attributes, spiritual attributes, personal attributes. But us men are weak on that. A man who knows how to do that, make the woman feel like she's $1 million, well, he's going to have a happy wife. But most men spend their lives incapable of doing that. The greatest problem in marriage is lack of appreciation. And so the greatest building block of marriage is the capacity to show that appreciation. And so therefore, I suggest to couples to challenge themselves to give 50 sentences of compliments and appreciation a day. 50. Yes, 50. And it's doable. But when you do it, after the course of 2 or 3 weeks, you'll start believing it. You'll start seeing it. It'll become a part of you. In the beginning, it's forced, I agree. But over time, it becomes real. We have to know that we have the responsibility to shine in the marriage. It takes one to tango. But if you approach it positively, if you approach it with a smile, if you approach it with warmth, then the marriage will grow. And the fact that you don't see what the other side is doing, that's just because we don't see. It takes a long time till a man learns to appreciate how much a woman is really doing on his behalf, how much she loves him, and we have to learn to talk that language of showing one another the love that we have. We speak different languages, but with time we start learning what one another needs. And we are basically out of time. Any questions?